Now we read here in chapter 22, verse 1, "Then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God." Now David is determined that the temple is to be built there on the threshing floor of Ornan. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. Hiram was king of Tyre and Sidon, and he was the one that provided the stone, and he helped David. And now verse 5, "And David said, Solomon my son is young and tender." And believe me, he was tender. "And the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnifical." Notice that language, magnifical. "Of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Now that's the reason, friends, that I say that it's not Solomon's temple, it's David's temple. And now we're getting it from God's viewpoint. God says it. God says David prepared abundantly before his death. Well, then why didn't David build the temple? Well, I'll tell you why. Again, listen to God's viewpoint. Verse 6, "Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house under the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house under my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight." Now, this ought to be the answer to those who criticize David for being a bloody man. As we've said, these wars were forced on him. As long as you and I live in this world, if we stand for the right, we're going to have to fight, my friends. Now, as I've said before, our enemy is not a flesh and blood enemy. Our enemy is spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But you will have to stand for something. And as someone has said, those that don't stand for anything will fall for anything. And they generally do. The reason that people go off today, they don't go off all of a sudden. They go off when they refuse to stand for the things of God. Now, this man David was a bloody man. Nobody has said it better than God said it. God said, David, you're a bloody man. You cannot build a temple. God is not for war. He's opposed to war. His name is not Mars. God is opposed to war. He's for peace. His son is the prince of peace, and he's going to bring peace on this earth. But my friend, as long as there's evil and sin, but God wouldn't let David build a temple because of that. He was a man of war. Now he says, verse 9, "Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I'll give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days." But it wasn't permanent. And this man Solomon was the man of rest. God says, I'll give peace. But the one that one day stood up before these people, when the religious rulers rejected him, he said, you remember, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, he didn't say, I'll give you rest. He said, I'll rest you. I'll do what Solomon was not able to do. He was the son of David. David's line. He's the one today that can bring rest and peace and solace and quietness for the human soul today. He wants to come in because God, my friend, is merciful today. And he's merciful because his son died for you. This is God's way. Won't you come his way? Won't you accept his overture, He has moved heaven and hell to get to the door of your heart. He won't come any farther. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock.